to be your pastor. It really is. This, when we started the church just over 9 years ago, we'd never dreamed that we'd have such an impact, and God's doing some amazingly miraculous, awesome things. And I honestly have the best job in the universe. I really do. I've got the best job in the universe. It's hard. It's challenging for sure, but it is the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my entire life, and I love, love, love being your pastor, and it's so much fun to see it. And by the way, what's happened to hundreds of people's lives that we've seen these past 9 years is nothing compared to what God has in store for us in the future. Amen? Yeah. There's so many more people that we have to impact, and I can't wait to see the good things that God does. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That touched my heart. Wasn't expecting that. And so my staff, they're going to hear about that later. So, but anyway, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Well, today we're continuing the series called My Family Circus, and we're so excited to be able to continue that series. We're taking a look on Sunday mornings for 6 weeks on how we can gain wisdom from the Bible, how to navigate through the craziness of our families. How many of you know that our families are like a big circus sometimes? That seems just crazy and everything. And so that's why we've been talking about here on Sunday morning how to gain perspective on the family from a biblical perspective and a biblical point of view. And I am privileged here today to have my spiritual father, my mentor, Pastor Gary Grogan from Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, to speak to us today. He's going to come in just a moment and talk to us. And he's been with us before, so if you've been part of our church, you've seen him and you've heard from him before, and you know how much he means to me and how much he means to our church. And I served on staff with him for 4 years a while back. In fact, I've known him since 1995, so for 19 years, this guy has been investing in my life and helping me out. And he pastors a very great, effective church in Champaign, Urbana. Just last Easter, they had over 3,000 people there on their campus for all their Easter services. And has been there for 27 years, making a difference in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, where the University of Illinois is. And he's just a man of God that reaches his community. In fact, a few years back, Champaign County awarded him the Humanitarian of the Year Award. This was by a secular organization recognizing a pastor in their community as a Humanitarian of the Year. What a phenomenal honor, Papa G, to be able to have that. And then this past January, he prayed in our U.S. House of Representatives before they had their session and had an opportunity to minister to some of the congressmen while he was there, was at a breakfast for a bipartisan panel, and has made a major, major difference in the lives of other people. So God has used him in major ways. He travels all across the country, all across the world, encouraging ministries and pastors all over, and we get to have him here with us today. What an honor and privilege. And Papa G, during this, I can't think of a better time for you to come during this series called My Family Circus, because you're like the dad I always wish I had. You really are. And your investment and your mentorship in my life has just been so great. And in fact, yesterday you said, "Hey, I didn't get a chance to get your girls anything, so let's go to Target and I'm going to buy them all a shirt." He came home and gave them all a shirt yesterday from Target. So, isn't that awesome? Would you give a great big round of applause for Papa G?
Hey, it's great to be back at Life Bridge. I love you. I feel at home here. Know so many of you personally. Have done several of your mancations, your men's retreats. Those are just awesome times where guys can just let it all hang out and have a great time. And what happens at the mancation stays at the mancation, right? Sorry I won't be able to make the one this year, but if you're a guy here, you're new to the church, you ought to think about going this coming spring to the mancation. If you have a Bible or electronic device, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you for honoring your pastor today. We really appreciate that. Maybe send him a card, maybe send Ellen a card. Not that we're looking for any sympathy, because everybody has it rough. And he said it's the greatest job in the universe, but there's lots of ups and there's twice as many downs. And if the devil can get the leader down, he can get the church down. How many of you know that to be true? One of the things that we did Friday night, we met with a bunch of leaders, and we made a commitment called All In. And one of the things that we have pledged to do is to pray for LifeBridge Community Church, and that's you, every single day for the next 30 days. If you would like to be a part of this all-in initiative, would you see one of the leaders after the service? They will give you one of these slips of paper. If you would also like to begin trying to tithe, we will encourage you with letters every single week. We'd like to offer the 90-day challenge and see if some way after 90 days you are not better off. There have been some challenges here in regards. Isn't this a great place to meet? Isn't this just awesome? Can you believe this church is less than 10 years old and you get to meet in a place like this with a band like this, huh? Woo, come on, Missy. That was just awesome. I mean, I've been in churches a lot bigger than this, and this is probably going to be on the internet, but their music just sucks. And this was just awesome this morning. And we faced some challenges because the school district has raised the rent quite substantially. And we're just asking some people if you would give a little extra for the next 30 days, or if you're not tithing, if you would begin to tithe. So great to be here, continuing with this series called My Family Circus. And what I want to do today is to encourage you to be a generation of fathers and mothers, a generation of big brothers and big sisters, be a generation of uncles that every nephew needs, be a generation of aunties and aunts that every single niece needs. I want to encourage you to be spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual leaders where God has placed you. I had the privilege of being in youth ministry for 15 years. And as a young man straight out of undergrad school, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how can I do this? How can I be a youth pastor to this generation of young people that need you so bad? And I really felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, I want you to be a father to them. Now, because I was so young, I had to be a big brother to some, but there were some who were much younger than me that I was able to be a father to them. And now at this age in my life, I'm able to be a father. And your pastor is one of my spiritual sons. If you don't like him, don't tell me. The Irish in me might come out and I might just get all over you, okay? Irish people, we don't run from a fight, we run to a fight. And he's a spiritual son. And Ellen is a spiritual daughter, and I love them. I performed their wedding ceremony. I was there when he first went into ministry. I was there when he was ordained into the ministry. I have watched this man grow. I watched God give him a burden for Fresno, I almost said Illinois, Fresno, California. We do have a Fresno, Illinois. It's nothing like this Fresno. But our grass is green. You guys need rain real bad. Anyhow, I've tried to be a spiritual father ever since that. At that time when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, be a father. And I've been blessed by so many sons and daughters all over the world. It's the joy of my life. Let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have an electronic device, you want to turn there, you have a Bible, it'll be on the screen. The Apostle Paul in verses 14 through 16. Paul says this, I am not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you only have one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you, so I ask you to follow my example and do as I do. The apostle said, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. With divorce at all-time high and dysfunctional families at an all-time high, there has arisen in our culture, in our lifetime, a fatherless generation. It has emerged. And if there was ever a time that people needed spiritual fathers and mothers to rise up, it is right now. The fatherless, they need a father. The motherless, they need a mother. And how many of you know that God designed all of us to be nurtured? When you were born, your parents didn't just bring you home and say, over there's the refrigerator, over there's the stove, help yourself to some milk and to some formula. By the way, over there's the diapers. Literally, we were born and had to be nurtured by someone else. It's the way that God has designed us to function, to have parents and spiritual parents who give us life and they give us opportunities. They help us. Where would you be if someone had not invested in you? Where would you be if someone had not believed in you, had not given you opportunities, and had not encouraged you? I look back over my life and older ministers who gave me opportunities and invested in me. Ken Wallace, you remember, we affectionately called him Brother Wallace. Ron Callahan, who taught me how to speak and taught me how to be a minister. I owe so much to these men. Some of you wonder what spiritual parents do. It's really simple. They invest in those who come after them. Because we always want the next generation to be better than us. We want them to have more opportunity than us. That's why we work hard as parents and as spiritual parents to provide something better for those who come after us. I want you to look at this mosaic of pictures there. Look who's right in the middle. And for some of you, this man, Pastor Kevin Foster, is your spiritual father. He is your spiritual big brother. Now, those are just pictures on a screen to you, but these are all young men and women that I have personally invested in. I have spent time with them. I've laughed with them. I've cried with them. They call me a lot. And some of them are literally ministering all over the world. This funny looking guy right here is my biological son. And he's a pastor in San Diego. And I will fly tonight direct from your airport on Alaska Airlines into San Diego. And I get to see my three grandchildren. I am so excited about it. It's going to be so great. I'm just pumped about it. By God's grace, these young men and women, what I've poured into them, it's been multiplied. They're pastoring churches. They're leading national ministries. The Apostle John understood this joy of being a spiritual father. And he said this in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I'm assuming that everybody here, I see that we do have some young children here, so I will be a bit careful, but just a bit, because I leave and then you can complain to Pastor Kevin after I'm gone. But I'm assuming that everybody here understands how natural children are made, right? Wow, you're sharp here in Fresno, okay? I mean, there's this exchange between a man and a woman, and 9 months later, out comes this little baby boy, this little baby girl. But there's not very many who understand how to be spiritual fathers and mothers. And this is what we need. This is the answer we need to turn our families around, to turn our communities around, to turn our culture and our nation around. How do we do this? It's real easy. We spend time with them, we invest in them, and we encourage them. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me read several verses, 5 verses. We see the Apostle Paul's heart for being a father in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone there as we preached God's good news among you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were pure and honest and faultless toward all you believers, toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you into his kingdom to share his glory. There's so many examples of spiritual fathers in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah was a spiritual father to his servant Elisha. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 2 where a chariot, a fiery chariot, takes the prophet Elijah away. And in verse 14, when Elijah was taken up into heaven, Elisha cries out, "My father, my father." This is an incredible principle as we talk about our families being a circus. I noticed one young gal when Pastor Kevin said, "Sometimes your family's a circus." Man, her hand just went straight up in the air, you know. And her boyfriend or husband or whoever it is kind of looked the other way. But her hand just went straight up in the air. This principle of the older generation caring for the younger generation as loving parents, it's all throughout the scripture. Let me just say again, the absolute joy of my life is being a father and now a grandfather and a spiritual father. Sometimes, and I have all my spiritual sons and daughters, I have all their pictures and a picture of their children in a notebook. And every day, the best I can, I pray for them. And sometimes just looking at their pictures, tears come to my eyes, especially with my grandchildren. And if you are a grandparent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I became a grandparent, my son waited 8 years, and I'd call him and say, "Dude, I thought I had the birds and the bees conversation with you when you were a kid. I want to be a grandfather. You need to give me a grandbaby." He's like, "Shut up, Dad. We'll do it when we're ready." And when my first two grandchildren came, one in Chicago and one in San Diego, 48 hours and 48 minutes apart, can you believe that? Something absolutely changed on the inside of me. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But family life, as much as we want it, as much as we desire it, sometimes it's like a circus. But on this special day, in this series, I want you to understand just quickly what a spiritual father, what spiritual parents will do for you. First of all, they will give you life and opportunities. Genesis 2:7. We read this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God the Father gave Adam life, and that's what spiritual parents, and I'm focusing in on the men today in the middle of this series, that's what spiritual fathers do. They give their sons and their daughters life, and they give them opportunities. Years ago, there was this big, huge sacred assembly, it was called. It was held in the state of Missouri, and my son and I, who was on staff with me at that time, we were asked to do a father-son message. And I knew there would be all kind of Bible school professors and seminary and professors there, and the science of preaching is called homiletics, and I knew there would be homiletics teachers there. And so I took a passage of Scripture, and I designed a sermon after a methodology called expository preaching, because I knew that's what most of those professors would consider a good sermon. I did all the work. I did all the textual work. I did all the transitions. And with my son, I just had him tell stories. And so I would get up and I would establish the proposition. I would establish the text. I would explain the text. And then my son would come up and just tell stories. There were about 10,000 people in this meeting. And after the meeting, scores of ministers came up to me. Very few homiletics teachers, but scores of ministers would come up to me. And they did not say, Grogan, you did a good job. They said, Grogan, your son did awesome. And in the back of, and I would say thank you, but in the back of my head, I'm going, that's the way I planned it. That's what I wanted. I wanted my son to look good and do good. Fathers always want their sons and their daughters to do better than them. That's what you want. That's what I want. A father gives us life and opportunities. Secondly, a father provides for us. Jesus said, if a son asks a father for fish or for bread, will he not give it to him? In Luke chapter 11, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? And in Matthew 6:32, Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, Daddy God, Abba God, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. When my children are struggling in some way, be it financially or whatever, I do everything I can to help them and provide for them. That's what fathers do. They provide for us. And our Heavenly Father has a great track record of doing that. Last, here's what a spiritual father and spiritual parents do for the next generation that comes after them. They protect us. A father protects you. Psalms 46:1. God our Father is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you've ever studied the life of the Apostle Paul, you know that he was arrested for preaching the gospel, actually for preaching the mystery of Christ. And the mystery of Christ was Gentile inclusion. The middle wall of partition has been broken down, and now everybody through Christ has access to the forgiveness of God. And in Colossians chapter 1, while he was in jail, Paul said it was better for him to be in jail than his spiritual sons and daughters in Colossae. And this is exactly what all true spiritual leaders feel. We would rather go through it ourselves than to have those who are coming after us go through it. I was barely 22 years of age when our son was born. He was born premature and he had all kinds of problems. And his jaundice was real bad, and they had to put him under what was then called a bilirubin light. And he had cotton over his eyes in different places. And I'm standing there behind the glass in Methodist Hospital in Peoria, Illinois, barely 22 years of age, no family around, no grandparents around. And I'm standing there all by myself looking at this little, you know, people used to come up and say, oh, you got a cute little baby. Well, he was premature and fuzzy and he looked like a spider. Well, he's a decent looking dude now, but you know, they'd say, you got a pretty baby, and I'm thinking, liar, liar, pants on fire. This kid looks weird. And I'm standing there looking through the glass, and I'm just crying. I'm just crying because I would rather be taking one for him rather than him taking it. You may be going through a hard time, but I want you to know that your Father God is coming to your rescue. Another thing that a father does for you, they grieve for you. This is it. They grieve for you because of their great love for you. Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. It says in verse 20, his father, the son got up, went to his father. While he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. We always talk about the prodigal son. What about the prodigal's parents? I believe after dinner they would sit on the porch and they would look over the horizon and they were longing and grieving for their son to come home. Jesus demonstrated this kind of spiritual love that I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 23, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what parents do, spiritual parents. They long for their children. Our first grandchild, Reagan Jean, was born with real severe complications. By the time she was 5, she had 8 surgeries. And some of you parents know exactly what I'm talking about. You would rather take a bullet than to watch your children or your grandchildren suffer. I realize some of you are fatherless. I can relate to that. Even though my dad was there, he was 30 years older than my mother, and he was more like a grandfather, and he had strokes, and we cared for him in our home in a hospital bed. And some of you, you don't know your father. Your father has gone AWOL, or he has abandoned your mother. And I've got some words for you. Psalms 146:9, he relieves the fatherless. Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. Some of you, you're dealing with the step-parent thing, and perhaps you feel abandoned. The psalmist says in Psalms 27:10, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Psalms 10:14, you are the helper to the fatherless. Psalms 10:18, to vindicate justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. There are so many things. As we think about families being a circus, we can change that by being spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual leaders. We can change the legacy of our families. That's what we can do. You need to have a spiritual father, a spiritual parent, a spiritual big brother, a spiritual sister. But I would say this, some of you, you need to quit taking your relationship with God for granted. And you need to get serious about being a spiritual father and being a spiritual mother and being a spiritual brother and being a spiritual sister, because somebody younger than you is watching you. Let me just say this. Why do you think God has put you in a healthy church? This is a healthy church. You have a super healthy leader. Maybe you don't know that. But in the scheme of churches across America, there's only about 3% of churches that are experiencing the life and the vitality and the growth of what you guys are experiencing here at LifeBridge Community Church. Have you ever thought about why God has put you in a church that has a healthy leader who produces healthy teams, and that's what is producing a healthy church? It's because some of you come from a dysfunctional family background, and you don't know how to relate to a man older than you, or a woman older than you, or somebody of the same sex to relate to them as a brother or a sister without looking upon them as a sexual object. And God has put you in a healthy church so that He can do a new work and a fresh work and a work of transformation and a work of redemption, so that you can give a generation what you did not give. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Kevin is going to come and give an appeal, because we want to give up people an opportunity to make commitments today. Lord, thank you so much for LifeBridge Community Church. I just feel so at home here. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the way they love their pastor. Lord, I pray that we would not take this church for granted, that we would participate, we would attend the best we can, give the best we can. Right now, Lord, we need some people to step the plate and give a little extra, and that you would help us all to take our spiritual lives more seriously, to become the men, become the women that you want us to become, so that we can influence the next generation. The Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost said, save yourself from this wayward generation. And the only way that's going to happen, the only way people are going to be delivered out of these circuses, is for you to help us to become the spiritual leaders that you've called us to be. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, today the Holy Spirit is in this place to call some of you to life. Some of you have had the posture in your life where you think, and maybe through the course of this message you kept thinking, boy, I wish I had that. Boy, I wish I had that. Wow, I wish somebody would have done that for me. And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that you didn't have somebody to be that way for you. You didn't have a spiritual mom, a spiritual dad. You didn't have parents that really believed in you. And as I've told you, I really haven't had that either in my life. But it had to come to a point where we get over ourselves and we get over all of our hurt and pain of not having that in our lives, where we get to the point and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what's happened to me in the past. I'm going to be that for somebody in the future. I'm not going to complain and whine about what I didn't have in life. I'm just going to go ahead and move forward and make sure that I'm that way for somebody in the future. And so instead of just playing the role of victim this morning, God's wanting you to move from the role of victim to the role of victor today, to where you start investing in somebody. You start being that man, being that woman, being that teenager that God has called you to be. And I really feel that the Holy Spirit is here this morning to give you hope, to give you passion, to give you power, to help you to find out how to become that person. And he's wanting to let you know today that just because it didn't happen the way that maybe it should have in the past, and you didn't have that family background that maybe you should have had in the past, that God is wanting to do a brand new work inside of you so that you can break the generational curse over your family, so that you could be that person that one day when you're 60 years old and you're 70 years old, you have many people say, wow, I'm so glad that so-and-so decided to be my spiritual mom. That he decided to be my spiritual dad. But for the very first thing for you, in order to do that, you got to give your life to Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've attended church, you've done religious things, but you've never, ever truly given your life to Jesus before. All heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today on three and you've never given your life to Jesus, that's the first step. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you up front. I simply want to pray with you from the front. When I say the word three, I want you to lift your hands up high today. You've never given your life to Jesus, and you want to do that for the very first time today. On three, who's here right now? One, two, three. All across the auditorium this morning, you say, Kevin, that's me. I've never given my life to Jesus, and I'm going to do that for the first time today. Anybody here today at all, you say that? Secondly, maybe you're here today and you say, Kevin, I used to know him, I used to walk with him, but I have walked away from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and I want to renew my relationship. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now all across the room? Who's here right now? You want to rededicate, recommit your life to Christ. God bless you down here front. God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thirdly, you're here today and you say, Kevin, I want to be a spiritual dad. I want to be a spiritual mom. I want to be a spiritual brother. I want to be a spiritual sister to people that are in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand all across this room this morning? So happy to see that most of us have our hands raised. And so, God, I pray that right now, I pray for your power. I pray for your spirit to come upon the people today. Help them to know, God, that no matter what has happened to them in the past, that they can change their future because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ can make them new once again, Lord. I speak forth your life, your energy, your passion into their life to change people's lives forever. I thank you so much for it. For we pray these things in the very powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, would you stand to your feet right now? Let's give God all the glory. Let's give him a big hand clap today for what he's done. Listen here, I want you to leave this place feeling like you can do this. Listen, with God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter what you've been like in the past. You can change your future. With God, all things are new. And you can walk out of this place believing. So I want you to start believing. You have to, in order for you to start being that kind of a spiritual dad, to be that kind of spiritual mom, you have to start thinking that way. You have to start thinking in terms of that. Go to the Bible, see what the Word of God has to say about your life and how you can be that man and that woman that God wants you to be. Can I get a great big amen? Amen, 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 amen. Well, listen here, if you're newer to the church or you've never been before, come to my house tonight for a house party. We had a barbecue prepared for you tonight. Feel free to bring the kids. We'll have fun with the kids. There's going to be lots of good things for the kids there tonight as well. Make sure you sign up at the Connection Center. On your right, sign up your name and what you're signing up for the house party tonight. I can't wait to see you. Have a great, great week. Invite somebody to church next Sunday. We'll see you soon.